Okay, so we are on the top of Lamed Amud Bet. Four lines down. So the Gemara says, Hato'eh Bashem. What does that mean?
You make a mistake writing God's name.
Good. Gorer et Masha Katav, V'toleh et Masha Garar, V'kotev et Hashem Amakom Hagrar. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Right? Good.
Scrape off what you wrote.
Good.
And you hang it. And then you write the God's name on the part that you scraped off.
Good. Meaning, what is the mistake we're talking about? What type of mistake did you make in Shem Hashem?
You didn't have enough space.
Right. Meaning, you didn't make a mistake in Shem Hashem itself. This would make no sense. Meaning, you made a mistake writing in the process when Shem Hashem is involved. Right? You missed a word. So now what do you got to do? You got to fit two words in the space of one, which is hard, right? So what is Rabbi Yehuda to suggest? Right, that you...
You don't do that in the first place.
Yeah, but it happened.
But I think you're not allowed to erase Hashem's name, though.
Correct, you didn't make a mistake. Right, so that's the... You didn't make a mistake writing Hashem's name, or you made a mistake in the process, like you missed Hashem's name. You missed Hashem's name.
Oh, you didn't write Hashem.
Right. That's the missing word, right? Presumably, that's the missing word here, right? So you erase it, and you put Hashem on the erased space, and put the other word
above,
right? You know how you do this sometimes? Like, you're writing a sentence. I know you never write. You're writing a sentence, right? When people used to write, Mizman, Amol, right? What? When people used to write, right? And they would write a sentence, I going to shul, and then you're like, ah, I forgot a word, assuming you recognize the missing word here. Am. So you do a little...
It's just like we did.
Yes, that was the example I put on his page. Yes, that was me.
No, God, you wrote it.
No,
yes,
that's
I wrote it over again to illustrate.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Very good. So you write the name of God in the line on the erasure. And the other word, you just sort of put in the... Right, remember, how much space is there between lines?
The width of a line.
The width of a full line, which means there should be room there to write a word, because it's the length of an entire... It's the width, rather. Height of an entire line, right? Height of an entire line. Good. That should be Yehuda's position. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Aftalin en Hashem. Rabbi Yossi said, if it happens, you can even, if necessary... Right, you don't have to scrape it off, right? Meaning, if you miss Shem Hashem, you have two options. Erase the word, and then put Hashem's name there, and then the other word up in the thing, or you could
just hang Hashem's
name. Or put Hashem's name in the above margin.
But then does that margin then have to have zero too?
We will have to get to this, but you don't have to add zero too. You've already done zero too, right?
Between the lines, then?
No, presumably no. How you deal with that? We'll have to get to zero too. Zero too is a very complicated sugya. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Af Mochek V'Kotev. Rabbi Yitzchak says you can even erase. You can even erase it as long as it's still wet. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Omer Kol Hashem Kulo Tolin Miksato Ein Tolif. Right, you're allowed to put all of Shem Hashem above the line, but you can't do like, you know, Yud and a Hey in the line, and then a Vav and a Hey hanging. That you're not allowed to do.
So the first opinion says that you should put Hashem's name where you scraped it off and put that word on top.
Good, that's the first opinion. The second opinion is you can even put Hashem's name in the
on top.
Right. The third opinion is as long as it's still wet, you can even scrape it away.
Scrape water.
No, none of that's what has to
scrape water. Or erase it, right?
Scrape water.
Presumably Hashem's name.
But I thought that's the word you're missing, so it doesn't make a difference. Why would you be...
Well, meaning you would have different types of mistakes, presumably for him,
so
you're right?
Saying even if you wrote Hashem's name, but it's still what you...
I think he's talking about... Well, that would be the novelty. And Shimon Shazuri says, right, half the name you can hang, half of it you can't. And then Shimon ben Elazar, Rav Shimon Meir, and Kodim ben Hashem, lo makom grar, lo makom chak, ve'ein tolenoto. Right? And Rav Meir says, no, right, you can't hang the name, you can't write Shem Hashem on the erasure, you can't erase, you can't do anything. What can you do? Ketzad? Oseh misaleget irakula vigonza. Sorry, you missed, right, that entire panel. Right, take it, put it in Geniza, and start again. Right, start again.
Ouch.
So who says that?
Rav Meir, right? Rav Meir in the name. Okay. Now, what I want to do is talk, there's two things I want to talk about here, right? One is this issue of Tolin, but the other is the issue that I told you we talked about last week, which emerges from this sugya, which is the question of Kisidron. Okay? This is the unspoken sugya of Kisidron, but it is important. So we talked about this a little bit, right? We've talked about it a lot, in fact. Kisidron. What is Kisidron? So we talked about this many, many times. There is an obligation in some of Stam to write the Stam in order, right? To write it in order. Hence all the problems that we had with what happens if you, right? If a letter is invalidated, so then can you go back and fix it? No, because then it's not Kisidron, right? Remember this, and then it's not written in order, it's written out of order, this is a problem. And for any of you who are planning on writing a mezuzah or a tefillin, this is a serious, serious problem, right? If you make a mistake, and then you continued, what do you have to do?
Throw away.
Yeah, you know, right? It's out of order, now you're in trouble.
Are you able to flip it backwards over
there? What?
Like, if you write a piece of paper on it, like let's say you have your part with this paper, and you write it and make a mistake, can you flip the part from over and then write it on the other side?
No.
Why not?
Because the... You're only allowed to write on one side of each type of cloth. There are different types of cloth, tuchlustus, and different things, and you can only write each one of them. You can either write b'makom basar, b'makom sayar, right? Either on the hair side or the flesh side, but you can't do it, right? You can. There's nothing that you're allowed to write both ways like that.
Can you cut it off? Well, it has to be on the same parchment? Like, let's... this is one parchment
to write it on.
This is
tiny.
Well, I know
did you... Nahum, do you ever write it? What did you write last year? You just did Safa, you didn't get it right. You didn't
write.
Okay. Mezuzah is not long. Mezuzah is kaze.
Well, no, what I'm saying, let's say you messed up on the third to last line. Would you be able to cut?
So we're going to do. We have to, what I want to do is examine this principle. Now, why does this emerge from here? So look at the Rambam. Right? The Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Tzayin. Who wants to read it? Go ahead. Well, if you want, you can skip the first line because it's not really relevant, but we'll read the whole halacha, that's fine.
So if you dip the quill to write God's name, you shouldn't start from the first letter of the name. You should start with the letter before. Shechach lichtov et Hashem, if you forget to write God's name, Toleo to ben hashitot, you hang it between the lines. Miktzat Hashem b'shita, miktzat toloi pasol. But if it's part of it in the line, part of it above the line is pasol. But with other words, you can write part of it in the line, part of it above.
Okay, good.
So this is only with a Sefer Torah. You can't hang anything. If you make a mistake in those, then you put it in Geniza, start over. And with all of them, you're allowed to write over an area that's scraped or erased.
Good. So the Rambam says that this halacha of Tolin only applies by Sefer Torah, but by Tefillin and Mezuzah, it does not. If you forgot a word, you wrote Vahafta et Elokecha. So now what do you have to do?
Throw it away.
You're lucky because it was right there. But the same thing is true if you wrote Leman Yirbu Yemechem
Binechem.
Right? Yeah, Binechem. Right? Or something like that. Oh, too bad. Take that message and put it in Geniza and start again. Oh, Chaval. What?
It's annoying, but it's not terrible.
Good. So where does this come from? So, the Kesef Mishnah tells you, where does it come from? Did anyone look at the Kesef Mishnah?
No.
No, okay. I'll read you the one line in the Kesef Mishnah. I gave you the sources, but I'll read you one line in the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah. Who's the Kesef Mishnah? Tezkirli. What?
I don't know. Usually,
who wrote the Kesef Mishnah?
Slegel.
Okay. Thank you. The same person who wrote the Beit Yosef. The same person who wrote Shulchan Aruch. Know this, guys. What?
I was going to say that as a joke.
Rabbi Yosef Karo. He was very prolific. Let's go through all of his books so we know them. What did Rabbi Yosef Karo write? He wrote
Shulchan Aruch.
Shulchan Aruch, which is what? What is Shulchan Aruch?
Laws.
It is a succinct code of law. What else do you write? The Beit Yosef. What is the Beit Yosef?
Commentary on the Torah.
It's an encyclopedic commentary on the Torah. Very good. What else did you write? Kesef Mishnah, which is a
commentary
on the Rambam. On the Rambam. Very good. And what else did he write? Magid Meisharim. What is Magid Meisharim? Daniel, what is Magid Meisharim? Good! That's the right answer. No, Magid Meisharim is a series of conversations that he had with the Malach. His own personal chavrusa, who is a Malach, called the Magid. And he writes down all of the conversations he had with the Malach, and that's called Magid Meisharim. What?
I don't know what to do with what I just said, but that's what he writes, okay? It's a very interesting book. It also is this weird thing that it starts that he had a conversation with the Malach, and the Malach tells him what God thinks of him, of Rabbi Yosef Karo. And do you know what God thinks of Rabbi Yosef Karo according to Rabbi Yosef Karo telling you what the Malach says?
So amazing.
Yes, how amazing?
The best of amazing.
Yosef HaMechuna Karo Mechabarna Rabba the Eretz Yisrael, the great author in Eretz Yisrael, Pasakna Rabba the Eretz Yisrael, the great posek of Eretz Yisrael, a few other things, and then Hasher Melech Malchei Hamlachim Chafetz Bikaro. Okay, right, which is a pasuk from, obviously a pun on a pasuk from Esther, that God himself loves him. Which, sure, if a Malach told me, that, I would write it as my own Haskama. Sure.
There's no proof whatsoever. It sounds like a,
I don't know what to tell you. This is what it is. Okay?
It's just sounding a false prophet.
I don't know what to tell you. The same guy who wrote Shulchan Aruch wrote this book. What do you want from my life? I don't know what to tell you. There have been books written trying to figure out what is going on here. I don't know.
Maybe it isn't actually.
What else did he write? What else did he write? He wrote Tshuvot. Tshuvot Avkat Rochel. What?
What in the world would that book be?
Tshuva. It's Tshuva. No, responsa. Like, people asked him questions, he wrote answers, he collected his answers, he put in a book. Right? He has Tshuva. He was a very prolific author, and a very in Nigla, in Nistar, he's a Kabbalist, hence Magid Meisharim. It's not, by the way, the only book like that, just to know. Right? There is another one by Rabbi Yaakov of Marvej, who was a Bala Tosfot, and therefore his nickname was?
Rabbeinu Tam,
thank you. Rabbeinu Tam of Marvej, right, who has a book called Shut Min HaShamayim, which is exactly what it sounds like. Well, maybe not. Shut Min HaShamayim, he would have shilas, he would fast, he'd put the shila under his pillow at night, and he'd have a dream with the answer, and he'd write down the cryptic answer, which sometimes was straightforward, and sometimes is written in very cryptic angel talk.
Cool.
Again, do I know what to do with this? No. Is this what it says happened in the Sefer? Yes. Ask me to explain it? I can't. Okay. No angel has ever come to me and said, would you like to learn? Zelo haya, lo nivra. Okay. If any of you have an angelic chavrusa who offers you chavrusa, I will not be insulted if you take the time every year to learn with your angel. Masha balachem. What? I know. No, that's why people are missing. They all have private angel chavrusas. I know. It's wonderful. I'm very proud of all of you. You know, I expect a safer by the end of the year record of your angelic conversations, and I would like to be privy to what is happening in heaven. Okay.
We'll put them up on YU.
What? We'll put them on YU Terra, yes. I hope that the... yes. I hope that the sarcasm is dripping. Good. So, so Yosef Karo tells you that the principle at play here, why is there a difference between Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah? He says in one line, Mishum Devikilo Kisidran, because they're out of order. And the halakha of order applies only to, according to the Mishnah,
the mezuzah
and tefillin, and not Sefer Torah. Good. Why doesn't it apply to Sefer Torah? Why do you think?
Because it's just so long.
Thank you. That what Gabi says is the Radbaz. That was the one that I added later, but if you want to look at it, just skip to it for a moment. It's the one that should be numbered between 5 and 6. Right? The Radbaz says basically what Gabi said, which is, don't get too caught up in this. A mezuzah, big deal. So you mess up. You messed up on how much?
Tefillin.
Not so much. Tefillin, a little bit more annoying. See, for Torah, you mess up on Le'inei Yisrael. Oy, gewalt! Right? Yeah, right? Le'inei Yisrael. By the way, I hope everyone got that reference. Please, I beg you. What did I just... What reference?
The last of the Torah.
Thank you! The last words of the Torah, which are Le'inei Kol Yisrael.
Oh.
Oh.
I gave up.
I thought it was like, oh, you read it. I was like, oh, that's something that's like, the first one is
Le'enei Kol Yisrael are the last three words of the Torah, right? And I said Le'enei Yisrael. That reference is clearly to the end of the Torah.
If doing the order is only because the mezuzah is short enough, so it's realistic, then the actual idea of the order doesn't really have.
So we need to understand it. But okay, but this is what the Radbaz claims. Now maybe we'll get something else, but meantime, this is what he says. So the Radbaz says, "V'ktiv." Just look at the last line. He says, after the ellipsis, really. V'im tishal lama b'sefer Torah did b'kedushat tvei lo b'inan kesidran u'machshirin be'atliyah. Right? Why would a sefer Torah, which is holier? Right, this is the Radbaz, right? Look after the ellipsis. Right, why if it's holier, why does it have less stringencies? His answer is Yesh Lomar Gim Loke Lotimza Sefer Torah Kasher Le Olam. Because then
You'll never, ever
have a kosher Sefer Torah. Unless you are like Rav Abadi and you paskin that you're allowed to have a silkscreen Sefer Torah, in which case you might. I know you do not want to.
Why is it not possible? You'd still be writing an order, but
no, because that means if you ever made a mistake, you'd be done. You'd have to start again. What are the chances that in the hundreds of thousands of words in the Sefer Torah, you're never going to make a mistake and have to go back?
But you can have
not in a single letter.
You can have like a system where you have 10 people writing.
Good, but if you make a mistake, sure, people still make mistakes.
So
it's just reality.
Be before.
No, people always make mistakes. It just happens. Okay. Aval tefillin mezuzah, I dezutar kotev acharina. He said, look, tefillin mezuzah nishkeferlach. Right, they're small. Okay, I don't know if he's right or not, but that's what he said. But let's analyze this principle. So, the Kesef Mishnah, how does he understand the principle of tolin? Why is tolin related to kesidron? Someone explain to me, what does he think this halacha means? Why is this halacha of tolin, of hanging the letters in the margin, was it have to do with kesidron? But
it looks like it's out of order.
Or it is. You wrote it out of order. Right. Not, it was written out of order.
Yeah,
right? In the Kesef Mishnah, right? Now, this is something we're going to have to get to, but hold this thought. What could Kesidron mean? Either it could mean that it has to be written in order or.
Either written out of order or read out of order.
Right, or like actually be, right? In order, out of order. Clearly, has the Kesef Mishnah understand that the obligation of Kesidron is halacha in? In the writing, right? Because he thinks that the problem is
that it's
right. It is out of order. He thinks that it is now in order, right? Once you put it, right? Once you add the word,
right?
The problem is that you wrote it out of order. That's why you were forced into the situation of hanging a letter or a word in the upper margin, right? So he thinks, and again, we'll have to come back to this, but slowly, the Kesef Mishnah clearly thinks that the halacha of Kesidron is about the process of writing. Right? Hence,
because aren't you allowed to write the Torah out of order?
And the Kesef Mishnah therefore says the reason that Tolin only invalidates a mezuzah or a tefillin, but you're allowed to hang in the margin, the upper margin of the Sefer Torah, is because the Sefer Torah does not need to be written in order. That's what he says the distinction is, right? That's exactly his point, right? That's why you're wondering, why did I get to Kesidron right here? The answer is because the Gemara presents a rule of Tolin, right? Of the ability, if you wrote out of order, to hang a word in the upper margin. The Rambam says that is only a legitimate move in Sefer Torah, but not in Mezuzah and Tefillin. And the Kesef Mishnah says the reason is because to write in the margin, the upper margin, is to write out of order. And this halacha of writing in order, Kesidron, only applies to Tefillin and Mezuzah, but not to Sefer Torah, and therefore,
In Sefer Torah, as Max says, there's no problem of Tolan because there's no problem of Shiloh Kesidron. That's exactly the point. Now, where does this principle come from? So the letters are perfect.
Yeah, but Tolan doesn't make... But it's also about the lines being perfect.
Oh, good. Hold. This is how the Kesef Mishnah understands the Sugya, yes? Or is that clear? That this is because the Mishnah understands it. Good. So where did this principle even come from of Kesidra? Where does it? What is the source?
The Masechta.
Thank you. I'm not tricking you. It's right here. In order. Kesidra. Okay? The Mechilta. What is the Mechilta?
It's a collection of... Halacha based on the parsha, based on
I mean, it is midrash halacha. What is midrash halacha?
It's a book of
all things in Torah.
Midrash
halacha. Deriving halacha.
Thank you.
From
the midrash, the act of midrash in English is exegesis, right? The process of deriving meaning from a text. Midrash halacha is the text in which we take the psukim and derive halachot
right.
From the psukim,
right?
What period in history is the Mechilta from? How early is this collection of texts deriving halacha from the psukim? You're off by a heck of a lot. It's Tanaitic. It is Tanaitic. This is super, super, super important. Tanaim. Same as Mishnah, right? Like right up there, pre-Gemara. Like, super important. Right? What midrash halacha do we have from this period? So one is Mechilta de Rabbi Ishmael on Shmot. What else do we have? What other Mechilta do we have on Shmot?
Shulchan Aruch.
What?
Mechilta of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai on Shmot. What is the midrash halacha on Vayikra called?
That's Vayikra.
Torat Kohanim. What is the Midrash Halacha on? Right, on. And what are the other ones we have? And by Midrash Dvarim, Sifrei, and Sifras on Vayikra, Sifrei on by Midrash Dvarim. Okay, this is Tanaitic material. It is super, super important. Guess where you sometimes find some of this material?
In the Mishnah.
Not in the Mishnah usually.
Baisa.
Gemara. The Gemara, you know, the Gemara draws on Tanaitic material. Some of that Tanaitic material is the Midrashei Halacha. This is something you should know, okay? Right? So you have Tanaim, you have Mishnah, Tosefta, and Midrashei Halacha. Then you have Gemara, Bavli Yerushalmi, in the time of the Amoraim, right? Okay, this is very important stuff. Good. So Mechilta de Rabbi Ishmael. Who wants to read the Mechilta now that we know what it is?
Mechilta.
Mechilta. What?
Daniel.
Thank you, Nachum. Please, read.
Nachum just volunteered.
I know. You don't volunteer other people. Go, Nachum. The first source, Filta.
Four places.
The psukim mention the mitzvah of Tilin. You knew that, by the way.
And four psukim.
Nachum, you knew that. What are the four? Without looking, what are the four? Thank you. Shema Bahafta, yeah. Good. Kadesh Likol Bachar. And Bahayaki Evyacha. Shocker. Those are the four that it lists. This is not a surprise. You know these. These are the four parshu that are where? In your tefillin.
Yes.
Right? Yes, they're also surprisingly the four that we try to get you to say while you're wearing your tefillin. Hence, the two parshiyot at the beginning when you put on your tefillin, and the two that you say always because you say Shema. Right? Why do you say the four? Because those are the four that. Yeah, this is not like a. This is not, you know, this is not rocket science. Okay, go.
Vayim
Shema. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. Good.
The Kah number, from here they say, Mitzvah's
No. Tefillin arba parshiot. Shalyad heim krach echad.
So in the shalyad there'll be one parchment, arba parshiot with four parshiot. Shalrosh heim arba tzvos.
That is four, right? Right, meaning all four are put on one parchment in the Yad, and in the Rosh, they're put in four separate ones. Right? You know that.
Yes.
Right? You know this. You look at your tefillin, there are four part compartments in the Rosh. That's hence you see it.
Yes.
Right? And in the Yad, there is not. And then the Mechilta says, Kotvan ke... Vim loko dvan kesidran.
Right. If it's not
right in order, it is in Geniza. Zeu, this is the halacha. Now, from this, what do you know that the halacha of kesidran applies to?
To fill it.
Good. That's all we know.
Right.
So where does the Rambam, first of all, get the halacha that it is limited to tefillin and mezuzah of tolin? And why does the Kesev Mishnah believe that the halacha of tolin and the halacha of kesidron are related? So first let's start, where does the Rambam know that the halacha of tolin only applies to Sefer Torah, but not tefillin and mezuzah? How does the Rambam know?
It says so.
Where does it say so?
Gemara.
Which Gemara? No, it doesn't. Did it say it in the Gemara you just read?
It says in the Gemara Yerushalmi.
Thank you. It says in the Yerushalmi. Which Yerushalmi?
Megillah.
Megillah. Where in Megillah?
The first part.
Very good.
Halacha
Ted. Look, you're geniuses. You know the Yerushalmi by heart. I'm so impressed. Good. Now, the Rambam, his general principles, where does he derive halacha from? Which sources?
Gemara.
And?
Yerushalmi.
Bavli, Yerushalmi, Tosefta, Sifra, Sifrei, Tanedik, and Amoraic material. He gives precedence to Bavli, usually, right? But he does not ignore Yerushalmi if there's nothing in the Bavli which contradicts it. In the Bavli, is there anything that contradicts the halacha and the Rambam? No, it doesn't say anything. It just introduces it, according to the Rambam, only for Sefer Torah. But Yerushalmi tells you, number two, that Tolin Bisvarim.
Ain Tolin.
Right, you're allowed, the halacha of Kliyot that we just read apply only by Sefer Torah, not by Tefillin and Mezuzah. And who is the first person to really connect these two sources? Right, the Mechilta. And right, where's the Kesef Mishnah to get the notion that these two facts are connected? Right, the fact. Sefer HaTrumah. Good. Who is the Sefer HaTrumah?
Rabbi Baruch Ben Yitzchak.
Yeah, you looked it up. I'm so proud. Makes me so happy. Good. This is why the internet was created. Who is he?
He was a 12th century Tosfist.
I'm so proud.
That was the only reason the internet. That moment was
the internet was created for that moment, correct?
That moment, right?
For that moment, right there. Very good. He is Rabbi Baruch. He is a 12th century Baal Tosfist from Germany.
Ben Isaac. Ben Isaac.
Very good. Very good. Okay, good. So the Sefer HaTruma, not to be confused with the Sefer HaTrumot, which is another Risha. He connects these two halachot, and he writes in number three. Who wants to read the Sefer HaTruma? Daniel?
I will.
Okay, Max, go.
I can't transfer.
Well, we'll work through it. Okay.
All right.
Umishpat.
Umishpat Tolin, the Sefer HaTorah. Ve'in Tolin, Betulin, Mizuzot.
So what does that mean? The halacha, the law of?
The law of
Tolin, what is Tolin?
To
hang, right? Tolin means to hang, that's what it means. Right? Tolin is to hang. Right? That's what it is. You hang it in the above margin, that's where it comes from. Right? What is dilugin?
Utters.
So lidaleg is to skip. So dilugin, Tolin dilugin, to hang that which you skipped.
Is the Torah, you can't hang for Tolin.
As we derive in the Yerushalmi, perek kama, right? The first perek, right? Kama is first, right? So perek aleph, right? We see, if you look at before, it's perek aleph, so perek kama de Megillah, mishum de Tanya, b'mechilten, and why is it, right? Who connects them? He says, because we learned in the Mechilta, that what?
Yeah,
right? That if you write it not in order, you have to put it in Geniza, you have to bury it. Right? So the Sefer HaTruma is the one who connects these, and he says, look, the Yerushalmi says that the halacha that you're allowed to hang things in the upper margin is only true of Sefer Torah, not Tefillin and Mezuzah. And he says, why is that true? Because to hang in the upper margin means that you wrote it out of order, because that means you missed a word and now you're going back. That you're only allowed to do in Sefer Torah. And he says, how do I know? Because he connects the Mechilta to the Yerushalmi, and he says these two halachot are equivalent. The ability to be tola, the ability to hang something in the margin when you went out of order, depends on being allowed to write out of order. And therefore, if we know that you're allowed to hang it by Sefer Torah, but not by Tefillin and Mezuzah, that means that the principle of Kesidron, that one must write in order, only applies to Tefillin and Mezuzah and not to Sefer Torah. That's how the Kesef Mishnah reads it, and the Kesef Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Karo, gets it from the Sefer HaTruma, who combined the Yerushalmi and the Mechilta. Right? There's a very methodical, right? This is very, very methodical. And then this is how he understands the Rambam.
Then why have I never seen the word Hashem's name?
So every so often you actually do. Every so often.
I've never seen a Torah.
But most people aren't going to want that Torah.
I mean,
they're just
that's why
they're usually not like reading the whole Torah. Like,
I don't know. You've gone through every Torah that you've ever, from beginning to end? Well, I'm very impressed. How well do you know it?
Good. I mean, yes, I haven't seen a lot of Torah.
I don't know. You don't see it usually.
I mean, a lot of times on the Simchat Torah, I've been around when they're rolling all of the Sefer Torah to...
I've never really looked carefully enough, but... I don't know. I don't know how common it is for some people to do this. I don't know how many people would want a Sefer Torah like that. You'll find it probably in a fixed Sefer Torah, right? If someone... Now, to be fair, one of the reasons is that our Sefer Torah, we really, really... One of the things that has become more popular, though there are people who oppose this, is one of the ways we check a Sefer Torah now is we can run it through a computer. Right? When we're done, we scan it. Yeah, you can scan it, and then you'll know if there's a mistake.
But even if there is, you still have to fix it.
Correct, but we can scan it earlier. We can, you know.
I know, but you want to roll the whole thing.
Okay.
Just scan.
Really, this is the technological problem you have?
No, but I'm saying
we live in a world of 3D printers where we can, like, print houses, and you're asking me how we scan.
No, but how do they scan the Torah and then know if there's any issues? You have to go through the whole thing anyway.
Yeah.
So what's the point of scanning it?
They scan to make sure, because a computer will catch what a human being doesn't. No? Like spell check.
But then, it's only possible if it's to be coming out.
What?
It's only possible if it's to be coming out. So the letter is like not questioning, but the human eye it is.
Okay, but it'll pick up the mistake, or the potential mistake, you'll look at it, right? It'll pick up the potential mistakes and then it'll check.
Right?
It doesn't, the Sefer Torah doesn't, the computer doesn't say, oh, puzzle and shred it.
But I thought, once you have a computer do it, the computer says puzzle and you have to.
No, it tells you where their potential issues and you look at them. You fix them, right? It doesn't.
So is it like a specific program somebody wrote?
Yes.
Who?
I don't know. Somebody. There are people who oppose this, but okay. Anyways, now this is how the Gaza Mishnah understands it, based on the Sefer Truma, who connects the Mechilta and the Yerushalmi. Like, let's go through this.
Does that apply also to, like, when they make machine-made shmor matzah? That, like,
we don't scan the matzah.
No, but, like, machine-made would be better than human-made.
So there's such a machloket. There is such a machloket. You can ask Yosef. His grandfather is what? No, Soloveitchik.
Oh.
That his grandfather, Varon Soloveitchik, that was his minhag, to use machine matzah for almost all of Pesach, because
sense.
It's better, because it's less mistakes.
What's the argument against it?
Lishma ishes.
So is that the same argument?
Machine shmura. Yes.
Is that the same argument with this?
There are related arguments. Some of the arguments are sometimes, I mean, yes. One of the arguments against both of them was, change. right, yeah, yes. No, literally, that's what it is. It's hundreds of pages of, change.
Does
right?
the yeshiva use machine made?
What?
Does the yeshiva use machine made?
You're not here for Pesach.
I know.
I don't
What's
know.
The yeshiva hold?
Okay.
It just tastes better.
Guys, so now let us just look at Shulchan Aruch, which was written by
Yosef
Karo, who also wrote Gezer Mishnah, who we've already therefore seen his position, and therefore we should expect to see
the same
that reflected in Halacha, and in fact we do.
In the context of Sefer Torah, he writes in 4, Shachach l'chtov Hashem kulo toleo to ben hashitot, amil miksat Hashem b'shita miksato talui pasul. Right, that if you forgot to write Shem Hashem, then you can hang it between the lines, but you can only do that with the whole name of God and not half of it. What?
Shachach has forgot.
Yeah, Shachach has forgot, right? And that's in the context of Sefer Torah. Right? In Sefer Torah, tolin is legitimate. In 5, however, Shulchan Aruch says in the context of Tefillin, Mutar lechtov amakom agrav amakom achak afilu askara. You're allowed to write on the erased space, even Shem Hashem. Don't erase it while it's wet. Wait for it to dry. Because then it won't have any mark. But what can you not do? What are you allowed to do by Tefillin if you, right? If you realize you skipped a word, what are you allowed to do by Tefillin?
You're not to
erase that word and then write on the erased space. What can you not do?
Hang it.
Hang it, right? You have to go back, right? You have to erase it and rewrite.
So only if you have room to put two in the same line.
If you have... No. You have to go back to where you are. You can't erase...
So you erase everything?
Yeah, exactly. You erase everything.
Unless Hashem's name's there.
Unless Hashem's name. And then, what do you do? You put it in Geniza. You're done. There's nothing you can do.
But isn't erasing it, then doesn't that make it locus ajun?
What?
If you erase it, though, that makes it locus ajun.
Correct. If you, yeah, but you can't erase Hashem's name. So if you erase, right? If you already hit Hashem's name and now you have to erase, you're stuck.
Right.
Right? Because now you can't erase. But if you didn't reach Hashem's name, you can erase everything until where you got it.
But it makes it look kosher, though.
It's kosher. Well, no, you have to rewrite. You erase all the way back. Throw your mistake and write so that it's in right in order.
Okay.
I mean, write it kosher. Don't make it look kosher. Write it kosher.
Okay.
Okay.
What if you're in middle of Hashem's name?
What?
What if you're in middle of Hashem's name? Like, if you're middle writing Hashem's name.
It depends. If you wrote the Yod, you're still fine.
Mm-hmm. And you
I think after that, you're not. I think that's right. Then, I think. But I'm going to look that up.
Before. You could be writing Yehuda.
Yeah, but you're not. And Yod Hey, remember, is Hashem's name. So
is that the only way it's written in the Torah?
So Yod Hey Vav.
Is that the only way it's written in the Torah?
Well, sometimes you also have Elohim.
So right. So in that case,
then no. Same thing. Any of the shemot I'm nimchakim. Sheinam nimchakim. Sheinam nimchakim. Right. Okay. Now, all of this assumes the Kesef Mishnah and the Sefer Trumas' understanding, which is that Tolin and Kesidron are
equal,
two sides of the same coin. Right. That to write in the upper margin is to write out of order. Right. And therefore, it is only okay by.
Only okay by Torah, but
by Torah. Good. But there is another possibility, which is that these two sugyas are
separate,
distinct. Who thinks this?
The Ran.
The Ran. Who is the Ran?
Rabbi Nissim.
From?
Poland.
Germany.
France.
Italy.
Girona.
I was just going to say Italy.
Where's Girona?
He's Spanish. Nissim Garandi. He is Sephardi.
Oui.
What?
Yes.
He's Spanish, not French. Why you said we? I don't know. That's French. He's not. That works for the Balei HaTosfot living in France, not for the Ran living in Spain. The Balei HaTosfot, for the most part, lives in France or Germany, yes. Rashi?
France.
Rashi lived in France?
Yes. Yes.
That's like the most well-known one.
Yes, he was French.
Rashi is not about
technically not. He started in Germany, moved to France, but fine.
Rashi's not about Tosfot, though, is he?
Before, the Balei Tosfot, the biggest Balei Tosfot are all Rashi's Mishpuchim. Right? They're his family, his grandsons, his sons-in-law. All those people. Like Rabbeinu Tam, the Ri. All those people, right?
Rashbam.
They're his grandsons and sons-in-law and whatever.
Who's
his son-in-law? Rashbam. No. All the... the early important Balei Tosfot are Rashi's grandsons and sons-in-law.
And daughters.
No, not his granddaughters.
Rashi only had daughters.
He did only have daughters, that's true. Okay, but the Ran thinks that these sugyas are...
Didn't his daughters
write it? Wait, are there any commentaries?
The Ran, in number 6. Let's try to at least get through the Ran today, and then we'll at least have the basic outlines of the sugya. The Ran says... It's very nice, but these sugyas are not related. The halachot of Kliya and the halachot of Kesidran are not related. Let's read the Ran. What does the Ran say? Who wants to read the Ran? Who's brave? And wants to read and translate the Ran? Really brave, really brave.
I can try.
What?
I'll try.
Oh, you are brave. Good, good. Okay, what does he say?
That's why they call me Nate the Great. Where's the rock?
No, engine.
There you go. Six. Number six. Oh. Actual six. Good.
I found it. Cool. Good for me. Umayata yesh ladon bedvar dehapach. Okay. So, and now we...
I cut out most of the... He said, let's talk about the opposite. Right, the opposite case. He says, Shekevan...
Shekevan she'at hat-tolia k'she'era b'tfilin mezuzos. So even the... What's it called?
Hanging.
What? Hanging. Yeah, that thing.
Good. Okay, now what... Hanging is
kosher and
good. So right off the bat, what does the Ram tell you? He does not agree with.
What's ladon?
The Yerushalmi, the Rambam, right? He does not think this is true.
What's ladon?
What? Ladon is to deal with, right? To discuss, right? So he says hanging is in fact kosher by tefillin mezuzah.
Ela mivnei derech kivasan who she'amru in tolin. Rather. It's the derech of...
Or it would have been kosher, right? He says, El mipnei what? Derech tivatanu sha'amru ein tolin.
The way we write...
It's not the right way to write. Shema mina, the tliya.
Kasidran.
Right? He says, no! When something is in the margin, and you write in the margin, is that kasidran or not kasidran?
It's kasidran.
It's kasidran!
Okay.
Right? You just shouldn't do it, because that's not a good way to write. Right, he says the ilav hachi, if it weren't considered in order,
in hadin haisa psula,
then it would be actually invalid. Not like you shouldn't do it, but you can't do it. Miditania katvan shalokis idrana reili ignazu. Vikevan shenitbarer shatliak tivakis idram mikre. Once you know that hanging is called in order, in ladlon min lashmatan isrega benatapin shenichdeva shalobim koma. So the Ran says it is not true. The Ran says Tliyah is considered in order.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So why can't you do it? He says because you're not supposed to do it. It's just not a good way to write. Right? Why are you allowed to do it by Sefer Torah?
Because
no, he says it's not about Kisidron.
It's too long.
Correct. It's too long, and you can't tell someone, I made a little mistake, right? Right? You lose the whole Torah. By tefillin mezuzah, I can tell you to do that.
Okay, but where does he get this from?
Oh, good. Where does he get this from? Good. So how does he get this from? Now, let's try to just get this point down. According to the case of Mishnah, if you put a letter in the upper margin, is that considered in order?
No.
No. According to the Ran, you have a letter of the word in the upper margin, is that in order?
Yes.
Yes. Why? What is their fundamental dispute?
Because it's still... You still read in
did
order.
Did you write in order? Why are you writing in the upper margin?
You had the kavanah to write it.
No, you skipped a word and you went back.
But you meant to write it.
So what? You didn't. Why would you say it's kisidron? Why would you not say it's kisidron? What does the Kesef Mishnah think the word kisidron means? And the Sefer Truma think kisidron means? Or what does the Ran think kisidron means?
Maybe the Ran thinks kisidron means...
Right. Like, good! 100%! Exactly! What? Because if Mishnah thinks that the obligation of Kisidron means that that whatever is under the rubric of Kisidron must be written in order, and therefore if you skip a word and go back and put it in the upper margin, is it Kisidron?
No.
What does the Ram think Kisidron means?
As long as the final product is in order?
Yes, that the final product is in order! And why is it that you look at this and you can read this as I am going and not I going am? Or am I going? Right? Why do you know this I am going? Because this is in order.
Right.
You didn't write it in order, but it is in order. The Ram thinks the Lach of Kisidron isn't. That it must be
written
in order. It must be. The end result must be in order. And therefore he thinks that something in the upper margin is in order. So why does he think that you can't do it? He says because... It's just not a good way to write. Right? That's not derech ktiv. That's not the normal way to write, to hang things in the margin. Right? Now, by Sefer Torah, you don't have a choice.
So what's the solution?
Right? What?
What's the solution?
So therefore, you think it's only lechatchila. Right? It says, really, it's fine. It's just not ideal. So by tefillin and mezuzah, okay. Right?
But then that causes
And he says, what's the nafkamina? Right? Sorry, what's the nafkamina? It says, for him, therefore... The nafkamina is, what if
You forgot a word, but you don't have to hang in the upper margin. You have to hang it in?
Lower margin.
Nope.
On the side?
On the side, meaning what happens? You got to the end of a line. You forgot a word, right? You forgot an et, right?
Right on the end? That's not
so write it in the margin, but on the?
That makes even less.
But isn't...
No, so then he says what? If he says the problem is that it's not nice to write like this. Right?
Then you may not even notice the end until after.
So it's the same thing, you'd be allowed
to. That is not true.
So then according to him, you'd be allowed to, because...
That's his point. That's his nafkamina. He says the nafkamina is that according to the Beit Yosef, if you forget a word in the mezuzah, right, and the Sefer Torah, but it's at the end of a line, and you can salvage it by putting the missing word in the side margin, so according to the Beit Yosef, is that mutter without erasing everything? No, because according to him, Gesidron is... It must be written in order. And if you go back and add an et in the side margin, is it written in order?
No.
But according to the Ran, that no. When you put something in the margin, it's considered in order. The problem is that by tefillin and mezuzah, you have to write it in normal way, which means all on, right? All in lines and not in the upper margin. So he says that problem is only in the upper or lower margin. But it's not a problem where? In the side margin. Because think about it, right? When you type, right? Are things sometimes a little bit longer? They go more into, right? This happens, right? Lines are a different length. That's fine, right? This looks normal, right? If I started hanging words in between, then you'd know there was a mistake, right? Okay, I'll finish this. I'm just finish this thought, and then I'll... Okay? Right, so the Ran says, right, according to the Beit Yosef, that when something is in the upper margin, that's considered... He thinks the decision is about writing. Therefore, going back and putting something in the upper margin is a problem because it was written out of order, right? You wrote, right? Uksharten al, and then you wrote la'ot, right? That's a problem. According to the Ran, no. When you... when something is in the upper margin, it's fine because Kisidron isn't about writing, it's about the final product. The reason you're not supposed to do in the upper margin is because you're supposed to write, as Nachum said before, beautifully, ktivat, right? You're supposed to write in a normal way, a nice way. It's not nice to put things in upper margin. We tolerate it by Sefer Torah because the consequences are posseling this huge, very expensive, very long project. But by tefillin and mezuzah, we don't. But he says, but since it's just about what's a normal way to write, what is it looks normal, he said there's a difference. If it's in the upper margin, we don't like it by tefillin and mezuzah. But if it's in the side margin, so he says, even by tefillin and mezuzah, the side margin is fine. Because he says, if the problem isn't about order, right? Because he thinks the order that matters is the final product, not the process. So if I have to go back and write in the upper margin, that's usher. Because then it looks off. But to put something in the side margin, that's not a big deal.
But it's still
right?
Not a nice way to write.
So that's not really true. Because look at this, right? Here, I didn't put anything in the margin, and one of the lines still goes past the other line. Right, that happens. Sometimes you do
but
that, right?
Didn't Gemara straight up say you shouldn't do that?
No, that's the upper margin. He says, but with the Mishnah...
Didn't talk about the sides?
No, because remember, our Gemara doesn't say anything about in order. Right, because the Mishnah said that the halach of Kliya is about order. The Ran says, no, it isn't. Because the Kesem Mishnah thinks that order is about the process of writing. And therefore he thinks that something hanging, which you had to go back to write, is out of order. But the Ran says, what does it mean for something to be out of order?
That it...
It looks out of order in the final product. So he says, if you hang it in the margin, is it in order?
Yeah.
Yes! Why aren't you allowed to do it by tefillin and mezuzah? Because you have to write it in a way that's normal. And writing in the side margin is a lot more normal than in the upper margin. So if you locked out and you forgot a word that you can shove into the side margin, according to the Ran, is it mutter? Yes. According to the Kesem Mishnah, is it mutter?
No.
Now there's one big problem with the Ran. Right, which is?
That open another can of
well,
Koto Shel Yud.
It's a lot of bombs, but in the Mechilta, what's the real problem? What does the Mechilta say happens to something that's written out of order?
You have to...
Yignesu. It should be put in, right? Does that make any sense according to the Ran?
No,
why would you put it in Geniza? It's kosher as long as you fix it. Right? Don't put it in the Geniza. Right? Because according to the Beit Yosef, it's about the process. Once the process was done out of order, you can't go back and fix it. Right? But according to the Ran... It's not about the final product. What is it about? Sorry, it's not about the process. It's about final product. So if there's a missing letter or a missing word and it's out of order, what should you do?
So he's saying...
Fix it!
So
why does the Mechilta say put it in the garbage?
So he's saying, basically, according to the Ran, there'd be no case in which you'd have to put in Geniza.
Well, that's the problem. right?
And also with,
okay,
you know,
go in for
a letter that's not readable.